Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive with us.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Today we're going to be looking at this book,
okay.
Solving Problems with Purpose, The Scientific Method Behind Design Thinking.
Nice.
And we're going to be talking all about design thinking. So if you're out there and you have problems, big or small, this is going to be the episode for you. We're going to figure out how to solve them with purpose and
absolutely
a little bit of fun.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you should mention that because I think one of the things that design thinking really brings to the table is it takes that kind of structured approach of scientific inquiry, but adds this like really human element to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's science with a heart.
I love that. So, okay, let's back up for a second and talk about the scientific method, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We all learned this in school.
Right.
Observe, hypothesize, experiment, analyze, conclude. I mean, it's been helping us find answers for a very long time.
Absolutely. And I think that structured approach is key because it really acts as a roadmap to help us avoid, like, you know, those knee-jerk reactions.
Right.
And just like biases that we all have, which ultimately lead to better answers, more reliable answers.
Mm.
And you've probably used it without even realizing it. Like, think about a time you had to troubleshoot something, like why your Wi-Fi was down or why your favorite recipe didn't turn out right.
Right.
You probably went through a very similar process of observing, testing, and, you know.
Totally.
Got to the bottom of it.
It's almost like our brains are naturally drawn to that style of problem solving.
Yeah.
So then how does design thinking take that and kind of design with it?
Well, it takes these principles and expands on them to a wider array of problems.
Okay.
Especially those that center around people and experiences.
Okay.
So it's like taking that scientific lens and focusing it on human needs and emotions.
Got it.
And what's interesting is that it actually started in the field of industrial design, but now you see it everywhere, like in business, healthcare, technology. It's really...
I love that evolution because I think it shows how a method designed for one field can really blossom and find new life in tackling all these different kinds of challenges.
Exactly.
So it's not just about aesthetics then, right? It's
right.
about understanding people and coming up with solutions that truly resonate with them.
Exactly. It's about putting people first. And that's where those five core principles really come in.
Right.
Empathy, define, ideate, prototype, and test.
Okay, let's break those down, starting with empathy. I'm really curious about this one.
Okay.
I feel like, have you ever used a product or a service and it just felt right?
Mm.
It was intuitive. It anticipated your needs. It maybe even sparked a little joy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's empathy in action.
That is empathy in action. And there's actual science behind it, too.
Really?
Yeah. When we empathize, specific parts of our brain actually like light up.
Wow.
Allowing us to understand and even share the feelings of others. It's like our brains are wired for connection.
Yeah.
And when you apply that to design, that's where you get this concept of user-centered design.
Okay.
Where everything really revolves around the needs and experiences of the people you're designing for.
Okay. So we've tapped into empathy. We've connected with our users. What's next?
Well, now we need to define the problem clearly.
Yes.
And this part is really important because it ensures we're focusing on the right challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like putting together a puzzle, you know?
Yeah.
If you have the wrong pieces, you'll never see the full picture.
I love that analogy because it is so easy to jump into solution mode.
Yeah.
Without actually taking the time to really understand the problem.
Exactly.
Like, what are we even trying to solve here?
Exactly. And that's one of the great things that design thinking helps you avoid is that pitfall. It uses, you know, observation analysis, tools like affinity diagrams to help you organize information and spot patterns.
Okay.
There's also root cause analysis, which helps you dig deep and find that like core issue that needs to be addressed. So it's really about taking those scientific observation skills and using them to gather the right information.
Yeah.
Define the problem with precision.
So it's about laying that foundation
before
you even get into the brainstorming and the ideation.
Exactly.
Which I imagine is where things get really exciting.
Absolutely. Ideation is where the creative sparks fly. So you're brainstorming, they're exploring a wide range of potential solutions, really letting those creative juices flow. It's all about expanding the possibilities.
I feel like I'm already getting more creative just talking about it.
Yeah.
What's going on in our brains when we're in that creative zone?
Well, our brains are such amazing, intricate machines.
Yeah.
And neuroscience tells us that we use two main types of thinking during this creative process:
Okay.
convergent and divergent thinking. Convergent thinking is more about narrowing down your options, homing in on the most promising solutions. Divergent thinking is all about expanding your horizons,
Yeah.
thinking outside the box, exploring unconventional ideas.
So you're kind of using both, like you're
Oh,
focusing your thoughts and then you're expanding them and you're
exactly.
kind of going back and forth to
Exactly.
unlock the best ideas.
You got it. And there are so many cool brainstorming techniques that you can use to tap into these processes. Like there's mind mapping, where you visually connect ideas, kind of like branches on a tree.
Oh, cool.
There's scamper, which I like to think of it as using action verbs to challenge assumptions
Okay.
and spark new solutions. So, for instance, if you're designing a new water bottle, you might ask, can I substitute the material? Can I combine it with another product? Can I adapt it for a new use?
Wow.
And then there's brainwriting, where everyone silently jots down ideas and then shares them with the group.
Oh, that's cool. I like that one.
It's a great way to get everyone's creative juices flowing, even the quietest members of the team.
I bet you can use these techniques beyond design challenges too.
Oh, absolutely.
I can see myself using these when I'm planning a trip
Yeah.
or, working on a project. It's all about just unlocking your creative potential.
Exactly, no matter the challenge.
Okay, so we've brainstormed a ton of amazing ideas. Do we just pick the best one and run with it?
Hold your horses. Now it's time for another key principle of design thinking: prototyping.
Okay.
So think of it like building a model airplane before constructing the real deal.
Okay.
So you're creating a tangible version of your idea to test it, refine it,
Right.
before investing a ton of time and resources.
Makes a lot of sense because prototyping is about getting feedback early
Right.
and avoiding those costly mistakes down the line.
You got it. And the science behind prototyping is actually really fascinating, because it really taps into how we learn as humans, like learning by doing, right?
Right.
So by creating something tangible, we engage different parts of our brain. We really get a feel for how the solution works in the real world. We can
Yeah.
quickly identify, like, potential problems, areas for improvement.
So it's not about having a perfect, polished solution right out of the gate.
Not at all. It's really about embracing imperfection, putting your ideas out there, using feedback to refine them.
Yeah.
And this is actually another connection to the scientific method, this idea of iteration. So just like scientists refine their hypotheses based on experimental results,
Right.
design thinkers use prototyping and testing to continuously improve their solutions.
It's this constant cycle of learning and improvement
Yes.
based on real-world feedback. I
Exactly.
love it. Okay, so what's next?
So that brings us to the final principle: testing. So
Right.
this is where we put those prototypes in the hands of real users.
Right.
We gather data, we really see how well the solution actually solves the problem.
This is where the scientific rigor really comes in, right? We're not
Exactly.
just relying on our gut feeling. We're using data
You got it.
to validate our solutions.
Absolutely. And there are so many different testing methods that we can use: A/B testing, usability testing, surveys, you name it. The key is to collect real-world data, which helps you understand how well your solution is meeting those user needs that we talked about earlier.
So it's all about closing that feedback loop and
Yes.
refining the solution
Yes.
based on the evidence, much like a scientist.
Exactly.
I'm starting to see how design thinking and the scientific method work so well together.
They really do. You get the best of both worlds, right? You get that creative exploration combined with rigorous validation. It's all about finding solutions that are not only innovative, but also genuinely effective. Solutions that really make a difference.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's interesting as we talk about testing and refining solutions,
Yeah.
it makes me think about our brains and how our brains don't always take the most logical route
Right.
to a solution. Have you ever found yourself getting stuck
Oh,
in a
absolutely.
certain way of thinking
Yeah.
when trying to solve a problem?
Our brains are incredibly complex,
Yeah.
but they can also be prone to certain biases, And those biases are kind of like mental shortcuts or
Okay.
patterns of thinking that can sometimes lead us astray.
I've definitely experienced that. What are some examples of these biases?
Well, one common one is confirmation bias, which
Okay.
is our tendency to favor information that supports our existing beliefs,
Great.
even if that information isn't necessarily accurate.
Okay.
So, For example, let's say you're convinced that a certain marketing strategy
Great.
is like the best way to reach your target audience. You might unintentionally focus on data that supports that belief,
Right.
while overlooking evidence that suggests a different approach might be more effective.
You're just looking for the stuff that
Yeah.
reinforces what you already think.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Are there any other biases that we should be aware of?
Yeah, another sneaky one is anchoring bias,
Okay.
which is our tendency to rely too heavily on the first piece of information we receive,
Okay.
even if it's not relevant or accurate. So think about like negotiating a salary for a new job.
Okay.
If the first figure that's mentioned is lower than you expected, that number might become an anchor in your mind
Oh, wow.
and influence your perception of what's fair.
So it's like setting a baseline,
Exactly.
even if it shouldn't be the baseline.
Exactly.
Got it. It sounds like we need to be really mindful of these biases when we're
Absolutely.
tackling these challenges.
You're right. But the good news
Right.
is that design thinking can actually help us overcome these biases
Okay.
by emphasizing empathy,
Right.
seeking out diverse perspectives, and constantly testing our assumptions.
Okay.
Design thinking provides a framework for making more objective
Yeah.
and informed decisions. It's like having a toolkit to
Yeah.
help us navigate those mental blind spots.
Yeah, I'm really seeing how design thinking is not just about creating cool products or services,
Yeah.
but it's about having this more mindful,
Yeah.
effective approach to solving problems in
Exact.
all areas of life.
I love that.
It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
So how does design thinking play out in the real world?
Oh, the applications are endless.
Yeah.
I mean, design thinking has become such a force for innovation across so many different fields.
Look.
Like, take healthcare, for instance. It's being used to develop these really patient-centered solutions
Wow.
that really improve the quality of care. Like, hospitals are redesigning waiting rooms
Okay.
using design thinking principles to make them more comfortable
Oh, wow.
and reduce patient anxiety.
Yep.
Medical device companies are using it to create products that are easier and more intuitive for patients to use.
It's so important to bring that human-centered approach
Absolutely.
to healthcare, especially in situations where people are
Yeah.
feeling really vulnerable
For sure.
and stressed. I can
Absolutely.
see how design thinking would really make a difference there.
Absolutely.
What about education?
Yeah, well, in education, we're seeing it be used to create more engaging learning experiences
Oh, wow.
that cater to different learning styles and make education more relevant and engaging for students.
Awesome.
Teachers are using it to design classrooms that foster collaboration and creativity.
Cool.
EdTech companies are using it to develop educational apps and platforms that are more personalized and effective.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's all about making learning
Yeah.
more accessible and enjoyable for everyone.
For sure.
I bet design thinking is also making waves in the business world.
You bet. I mean, it's helping companies of all sizes, from
Yeah.
startups to giant corporations,
Wow.
become more innovative and customer-focused. Like, teams are using it to develop new products and services,
Okay.
improve customer experiences, and even rethink entire business models.
So it's like a superpower for businesses
Yeah.
looking to stay ahead of the curve
Exactly.
in this world that's constantly changing.
You nailed it.
It's about adapting and staying relevant.
Exactly.
Right.
Design thinking helps companies stay agile and responsive to these ever-changing market conditions.
Now, I'm sure implementing design thinking
Yeah.
isn't always smooth sailing.
Right.
What are some challenges
Yeah, that's a great question.
that teams might encounter when they're trying to use this approach?
Well, one common challenge is resistance to change.
Okay.
Design thinking often requires a shift in mindset,
Right.
a willingness to embrace new ways of working,
Mm.
which can be daunting for some people, especially in organizations that are used to doing things a certain way.
Yeah. I imagine it can be tough to break out of those
It can,
ingrained
for
habits.
sure.
What are some other hurdles that they might face?
Another challenge is navigating the ambiguity
Okay.
that can come with the design thinking process.
Okay.
It's an iterative process,
Right.
so it doesn't always follow a straight line. There's a lot of exploration, experimentation involved,
Okay.
and that can be uncomfortable for people who prefer more structure and
Like
certainty.
they want to know
Exactly.
exactly what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. So it's important to embrace that uncertainty.
Right.
Be open to adjusting course along the way,
Okay.
Flexibility is key.
Yeah, I like that. What about stakeholder expectations?
Yeah, managing stakeholder expectations is really important.
Okay.
It's crucial to communicate the value of design thinking clearly.
Right.
Set realistic expectations for the process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a magic wand that will instantly solve every problem,
right?
But it is a powerful approach that requires commitment and collaboration
yeah.
to be successful.
So it's about setting the stage for success.
Exactly.
Making sure everyone's on board.
You got it.
Speaking of success, how do we actually measure the impact
right.
of these design thinking initiatives?
Yeah.
How do we know?
Yeah, that's a critical question.
It's working.
Yeah. So it's essential to measure the effectiveness of your solutions.
Okay.
And track progress.
Mm-hmm.
So think about what metrics are most relevant to your goals.
Right.
Are you looking to increase user satisfaction, mm-hmm. boost engagement?
Right. Or maybe you're aiming for specific business outcomes, like increased revenue or reduced costs.
Okay.
There are various ways to measure success.
Hmm.
It's about choosing the right metrics to demonstrate the value of design thinking.
So you're building a strong case for
it
and showing how it's contributing to the organization's goals.
Absolutely. And ultimately, it's about fostering a culture of purpose-driven innovation.
Okay.
Where design thinking becomes an integral part of how the organization operates.
Okay.
It's about embedding those principles
yeah.
of empathy, experimentation, continuous improvement
hmm.
into the very DNA of the company.
Yeah, that sounds like a powerful vision.
It is.
But how do we make sure that design thinking stays relevant
right.
and adaptable in a world that's constantly evolving?
Well, I think the future of design thinking really lies in its ability to embrace new technologies
okay.
and address these emerging societal challenges that we're all facing.
You know, we're already seeing exciting developments in areas like artificial intelligence, virtual reality, and sustainability.
Wow.
Where design thinking is being used to create more human-centered
right.
and responsible solutions.
So it's about staying ahead of the curve.
Exactly.
Anticipating mm-hmm. the needs of the future.
Exactly.
And finding ways to apply these principles in new and innovative ways.
You got it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Design thinking is always evolving.
Absolutely. And I think another key aspect is making design thinking more accessible to everyone,
right.
regardless of their background or profession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, traditionally, it's been practiced mostly by designers and innovators.
Right.
But as we move forward, it's crucial to democratize design thinking.
Okay.
Equip everyone with the tools and skills to solve problems creatively and effectively.
I love that vision.
Yeah.
A world where everyone can
yes.
use these tools to be creative and solve problems. What a great goal.
It is. The ultimate goal is to really empower individuals, teams, and organizations to face the complexities of the 21st century
mm-hmm.
with confidence and a human-centered approach.
This has been a really great deep dive into design thinking.
Yeah.
I'm really amazed by how it combines a scientific approach.
Yeah.
But with this deep understanding of human needs.
It really is a powerful blend.
Your emotions, yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is this emphasis on empathy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just this fluffy concept. Mm-hmm. It's really the bedrock.
It is.
Of creating solutions.
Absolutely.
That resonate with people.
Yeah. When you think about it, empathy allows us to step outside of our own limited perspectives
mm.
and see the world through the eyes of others. It's such a crucial skill.
Yeah.
Especially in today's world.
And also the iterative nature of design thinking.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about striving for perfection
yeah.
on the first try, but it's embracing this process
right.
of experimentation and feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
Continuously improving.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that iterative process is so essential because it really reflects how we learn and grow as humans, uh-huh. right?
Yeah.
We try things, we make mistakes, we get feedback, we adjust our course.
Yeah.
And design thinking provides a framework for applying that same learning process
uh-huh.
to problem solving, which is...
Yeah, it's like we're constantly evolving our solutions based on evidence.
Yeah.
It makes me think about scientists and how they
absolutely
refine their theories.
Yeah, it's not just about coming up with creative ideas. It's about putting those ideas to the test.
Right.
Gathering data, using that evidence to refine and improve our solutions.
Okay, so as we wrap up our exploration of design thinking,
okay.
is there a final thought-provoking question right. we can leave our listeners with?
Well, I think one thing to think about is consider a problem you're currently facing.
Okay.
Whether it's at work, in your personal life, or even just a small everyday challenge.
Mm-hmm.
How might applying these principles of empathy or that iterative process of prototyping and testing, mm-hmm. how might that change your approach?
I love that question because it reminds us that design thinking
yeah.
is not just for
not at all
designers. It's not just for innovators.
No, it's for everyone.
It's a toolkit
yeah.
for everyone to use.
You got it.
So until next time, Keep those creative sparks flying.
Absolutely.
And remember, the power to solve problems with purpose lies within each of us.
Couldn't set it better myself.